that flows from your mountain. Let me feed from the Father's supply.
One more time.
O Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply.
Let us pray. Father, we know that that great supply is so vast, Lord, and it's beyond measure and shaken and prepared for your bride, Lord, before the foundation of the world. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, we ask that you would just speak to our hearts tonight. You would bless those here and bless those that are not able to be here, Lord. Lord, we continually hold up Brother Goomba. Lord, your blessings upon him. Lord, in the ministry there as he travels and ministers to the people, strengthen him and guide him, Lord, and give him some rest along the way, Father, knowing that he's taxing himself very much. And Lord, those that would listen in, we ask you would bless each one. May you speak to every heart, Lord, as we commit all to you. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here. You can be seated. We just thank the Lord for his mercy and grace. And we are glad to have Rebecca back tonight. We miss them. They were really feeling bad. And so we want to remember those that are working and not able to be here. I think they're more than we are. But we're missing them. We love when everyone's able to come. And so when somebody's not here, we miss them. And we just thank God. So, but we want to get right into it tonight. And I'm keeping with the title of the subject that we've been on. And so this is going to come up in the first quote here. But he's talking about, and I'm not just studying, I'm not just taking, just talking about the death, just talking about these things, but these are his descriptions of it as he's preaching the message. And so I want to get both sides of it. And so that's the way we're going. So this is in Satan's Eden, and all the what I'm going to read tonight, just a short message tonight. Just have a few quotes. Is in this same message. And so I was going to add a scripture in here, but I didn't get it done. So we're just going to go right with this. Amen. And then I'm going to continue on this thought on Sunday. I can't seem to get away from it. Where Brother Rand was talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. And so when he was describing in 2 Peter and in Jude, when we were reading those scriptures about Noah and about the angels that were cast down, he mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah both times. And so I wanted to try to bring a little bit of that because he was relating it. And so I wanted to see if we couldn't just take a service on that also. And so paragraph 100 now. Now, by unbelief, not taking all of the word, has brought a seed of unbelief. And you could even say it the other way. A seed of unbelief has brought not taking all the word. It's the seed of unbelief. It's the seed of unbelief that is out there and it's manifesting what it is. Just like the predestinated seed is manifesting the Word of God for the age that we're living in. And that you can't change that. That was predestinated to be that way. And the other was predestinated to be that way. And so we talk about these things being whether they are predestinated or not. And how did Satan get here? How did Satan was able to go so contrary to what God had planned, what God, the perfection of God in God making him, but he had to fulfill the purpose that God made him for. And so it says, the scripture says, that jealousy, iniquity was found in his heart. And so that seed was manifested. And so that seed of unbelief, unholy, sinful, hatred, and eternal death is in this sinful intellectual age. And so what is it? All of that is eternal death. That's what he's saying. All of it's eternal death. There was never any life there. There was never going to be any life there. It just was eternal death. And so he said, now you got it in this day, that when the whole world is religious. See? Did you know that? The whole world is religious, and we know that. We see it everywhere. We see it in the people we talk to. We see it in the stores. We see it in our families. We see it everywhere. See, the people we work for, people talking about God. People, you take the nominal people, they're excited. They're testifying what God is doing. Many of them, they're testifying, and they're noticing, they're talking about things that keep happening on a daily basis or a weekly basis. They're telling you that God is doing this and God is doing that. And I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm not saying that he isn't doing that. Every blessing comes from him. And so he's blessing you. And I thank God for that. And so I look at this, the Charlie Kirk crowd. That, and they say that at his death, the next Sunday was a record, but more than Christmas, more than Easter, more than anything recorded, church attendance at his death, right after he was killed. I don't know if it's holding up, but it caused a revival among those people. The same thing that's happening in the nominal people, there's something there that they're excited about, and I may not know how to explain it just right, but I don't know if you ever noticed, right before the old bulbs, these new bulbs, I don't think they do it, but you ever noticed the old light bulbs, right before they blew out, they got real bright? Remember that? They got real bright, and they would just brighten up there all for a minute, and then they're gone. They just, and it's over. And so, that's, what can I say? Yep. What can I say? If they're not going to take the word, if you can't receive the revelation, then none of it's going to do any good. It don't matter how much he blessed you. It don't matter how much you testify. None of those things matter. The only things matter is that life. If that seed, that predestinated seed is in there. And so, but if the seed of unbelief is there, then all of the works and all the testimony and everything else isn't going to do a whole lot. See, it's going to take something more. So, in saying that, the nominals and then the other crowd out here, of course, that's part of the nominals is in that crowd. But some of them, they're not churchgoers. They're on a regular basis. They're not churchgoers. But it's around the message too. You find message people are excited. You find message people are reaching out and they're wanting to talk about it. They're wanting to know more things about the message than maybe in previous days. And Brother Goomba, I had a good conversation with him earlier. Today we talked about an hour, a little over an hour maybe, and the people are excited. Everywhere he's going, people are excited, and they're asking questions, and they're wanting to know the truth, and they're wanting to hear these mysteries, things that for so long, when the mystery started out, it was kind of like, all right, we just put up a bunch of walls. It was just a bunch of walls. And so this one's going this way and that one that way. And now it's like some of the walls are coming down and people are more interested and they want to hear it. And they want to see those quotes come together, on what the prophet has said. And so it's time for that gleaning. It's time for that. If there's anything else out there that is going to recognize this, going to recognize the presence of God, now's the time. It's got to happen. And so, see, and in this religious age, he goes on, See, and this is what he's calling it, a religious age. Big churches on every corner, see? Everything, the whole thing winds up in Satan being worshipped. That's right. And so All right. In this religious age, big churches on every corner. There was a short time in my life that I worked for a company that I installed security systems. And that was during my married life. And I was on the road constantly. And I can't remember where it was at. I think it was somewhere in Virginia. And I come in and I pass this church. And it was just, it was big city. And it had this massive, massive Baptist church. And I mean, it was just crazy big. And the sign said First Baptist Church. And you know, they can have really, really big churches. And this one was bigger than normal. And so I'm moving through town and I come to the next one and it said Second Baptist Church. And it was just about as big as the first one. And I just kept going and I hit the Third Baptist Church and I hit the Fourth Baptist Church. I got all, branches, one breaking off from the other, breaking off for another and another. And they were so big that you couldn't have put all four of them in the one building anyway. So they just as well divide up and have as many buildings as they wanted to have. But they were all massive. And so they just took a number. You know, we're number one, number two, number four. And I thought, it's just the whole carnal thing all the way through. And so you compare these things. And I don't mean to be critical, but you just compare it now until what you've seen in the Bible. Compare it. Compare it to what they were doing. They'd go into a city and they'd just go to talking to people, witnessing to people. And if they could find somebody that wanted to listen, that wanted to hear, they'd come into their house and they'd sit down and preach to them and talk to them. Where's that? Huh? There used to be a guy up here in town. It's been a long time ago, maybe 20 years ago, stood out there on the street with his Bible and tried to preach a little bit. But nobody was listening. Nobody was listening. And I don't know, maybe occasionally somebody would stop and talk to him. I don't know. I never did. Maybe I should have. But it's hard now. It's hard. But I will say, a couple years ago, I was in Kenya, and I was in a place called West Pokot. And we had street meetings. We'd have the services in the morning and go up till noon, and then we would go into the town, which was a village. And we'd go into the village and set up speakers and preach on the street. And there was people. Of course, there was people there, the businesses and stuff around. But there was people that gathered and would come and listen. And it was really good. But it's hard to find that now. It's hard to find that now. If you go back in the history and you can look and see where the prophet did it, you can find some old clips of where Billy Graham had those meetings. I think that's how he met his wife, maybe. But you go back in time, and there was a lot of that. They were evangelizing. They were trying to get people to come in. They were trying to get people to listen to the Word of God. And that's what's so hard. They already have their mind made up. Even though they're excited with their group, they're excited with their idea, but it's hard to get them to the revelation because of that seed of unbelief, that seed of doubt. Listen to this. In this religious age, big churches on every corner, everything, the whole thing winds up in Satan being worshipped. Now that's the deception right there. And that's where it's hard to get people to see that. And you don't, people don't like you to talk about that. They don't want you to insinuate that. They don't want you to make them feel like that they could possibly be worshiping Satan. But it's exactly what Paul told them in his day. He said they're worshiping Satan thinking that they're worshiping God. And how are they doing it? When they leave the Word. See? And so when Cain left the Word, there wasn't any more worship he did after that. Any more worship he did, he was worshiping Satan. Anyone. Anyone who leaves the Word of God, leaves the presence of God, there's no place else. There's no one else to receive your worship except Satan. So you're either in the truth, worshiping God, or you have that seed of unbelief and you are worshiping the devil. So that's a little bit hard, but that's just as good as it gets. It's just truth. So the whole thing winds up in Satan being worshipped. And here it is, right here in the Bible. See, that's right. And in this intellectual, theological seminaries, that's brought out an intellectual person that's been trained how to speak. And Brother Branham mocked it sometime. He'd say, they learn how to just say, amen, just right. All of their words, they just got every word just right. That's okay. But God can do more without an education. Amen. God can do more. That's right. See, theological seminaries has brought out an intellectual person that's been trained how to speak, what to do, how to make their emotions and everything, psychology, see, 3-4 years to know how to deal with a man's mind. They literally do. And I can remember when I come out of high school, I wanted to take some courses in a college or a junior college. I wanted to do something, and they would not let me take the courses I wanted without taking psychology. That in those days, everybody had to take those classes on some phases of psychology, and it really upset me. It really made me mad because I wanted to get the training. But I wasn't going into psychology. I wasn't going to be psyching anybody. And I wasn't going to be trying to discern anybody. And I wasn't even religious at that time. And so it let me see there was some kind of scam going on. And now we can look back now and see what they've been doing to the people. Yes, sir. And it has created so much impersonation. It's created so much fake, many fake people, very smart people, but yet their whole thing is fake. And it has put them into a mindset of, to me, they're not in the real world. They're living somewhere else. Anything is okay on the carnal, as far as Satan is concerned, is sexual things and trans things and all of those things are okay. But anything to do with God, the reality of God, I'm not talking about the false seed. The false seed is religious. Yes. It's religious. Right. And they're worshiping. They're just not worshiping God.
That's right.
They just don't know God because it's a seed of unbelief. It's a seed of false word. It's false doctrine. It's false idea.
Right.
And so there's somewhere else. And I listened to this guy this morning at some point in time. I think it was today, earlier today that I ran across this. And he was a preacher and he was talking about music. And he was talking how David would come and play for Saul, and those spirits would go off of him and he would relax and be at peace. The music, and the point was the music is so powerful that it was causing those spirits to go away. There wasn't even any words. There wasn't no words. In other words, David is just playing his music and those spirits are it's driving those spirits out. And so with this, the amazing thing this guy is bringing out, he's saying now what Satan has done, he's taking that music and it's spellbinding.
Yes,
it's spellbinding. And so the beat is going, the thing, and it catches your attention. And he said what the people are doing, they're listening to that. He said it can be filth. He said it can be cussing, it can be cursing. He said, but the music itself is holding the people there.
Yes, sir.
It's holding them.
Yes,
and they're that stuff is coming into their minds and they're feeding on that. They don't even realize.
Amen.
Those spirits are getting on them when they're letting that in.
That's right.
Music's a powerful thing.
Yes, sir.
And I hadn't thought about it like that. David wasn't even singing. He was just playing the music, and those demons were running away. And I tell you, it's kind of calmed down now, but we went through a phase where this rap was everywhere. It was just everywhere. You heard it all the time. You could go in stores and hear rap. And to me, it's the worst. It's the worst of all. It's the worst. And then it's also the most filthy and the most cussing and all of that. But I just never even liked the whole thing about it. It didn't come popular while I was listening to music in my younger days. And so then when it came out and you'd hear it places, I was just amazed because it's the filthiest music that you ever hear. And to think some of the places that they play it. I mean, if I had a business, that's the last music that I'd have in there. That's the last thing you'd want to put before your customers. See? But these people, these men are going to school for 4 years, sometimes more, to study and learn how to speak psychologically to the people, how to play on their emotions, how to figure their minds and the way people are thinking and those things. That's a psychological thing. Can you imagine the disciples in that day? No. They had discernment of the Spirit. They didn't need this man-made theology. See, 101. The Spirit of God is not something that's schooled into you. Huh? It's something that's predestinated into you. And I like that. Because that's what we've been talking about. That brethren, in Who Is This Melchizedek, I was reading this morning when I was ministering online. And he was talking about part of the eternal purpose of God. The eternal purpose of God and that predestination is a part of that revelation. It's a part of that mystery. And you know it, it's been argued about for a long time. Paul talks about it right in the New Testament. You don't hear many people pull them scriptures out anymore. But they're still there. That they were that elected group was predestinated. And so one's predestinated to eternal life and one's predestinated to eternal separation. And so he's saying here that this thing is not schooled into you, but it's predestinated into you. I like that because that goes with the rest of the scripture. Because you're not going to get it unless he draws you. And you're not going to get it unless he reveals it to you. And so that goes exactly with this. It's something that's predestinated in you. See? Into you. That's the new birth. It's predestinated. The new birth is predestinated to an elected group of people by the hand of Almighty God. Your experiences cannot be schooled or taught into you. Huh? Can't be schooled or taught into you. It's predestinated. I like it. And Brother Branham, you know he said that's a bad word. But for some reason, as the time gets shorter, and the closer we get, I just like it more and more and more. And the devil don't like it. I mean, there's no sense. We're not back there, you know, 30, 40, 50, years ago, and trying to win the nominal ranks or the denominational ranks. No, it's already been presented. They've already rejected it. Okay. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
They've already rejected it.
Amen.
That's the message. They rejected it in the seventh church age.
Yes,
and so we're not back there anymore. We're beyond that now. And that's where we've got to recognize where we really are. We're not back there under that thing of trying to persuade them. No, I mean, we're still, if there's a seed somewhere, we're still trying to persuade any and all who'll come. Whosoever will, let them come. That's still there. That'll always be there. As long as we're in this flesh, as long as we got breath, as long as we're preaching this revelation.
Right.
If there's any seed, God is going to quicken that seed and going to bring it to manifestation.
Amen.
And it won't be a seed of unbelief. It will be a predestinated seed that will believe every word of God.
Yes, sir.
Every word.
Yes,
Can't be anything less than that, see? It's predestinated by God's hand and God's foreknowledge into you. That's right. See? 102. Now, it brought forth this great Eden that they now live in, see? A church world's Eden. And they're all uniting together now at the Ecumenical Council and going to have the World Council coming under one head where Satan will be throned just exactly. That's right. See? And so I was reading earlier, Brother Brandon was talking about, might have been in the message Oddball, and he talks about the nut, the guy being the nut, but he said there had to be a bolt before there was a nut. And he said, that nut is what ties that thing together. And it has to be the right thread. Yes, you'll never put a nut on a wood screw. They're not made for it. Right. If you're going to have them, but they do have a nut and a bolt that has a coarse thread. And then they have what they call a fine thread. And those are machine thread, but it's a fine and a medium and a coarse like that. And so the only knot that's going to fit on that bolt is the one with the same thread.
That's right.
They won't fit. They just won't. You can try all day long and it won't. And if you try to force it on there, you're only going to mess up the threads. Right. It just won't work. Okay. So Brother Branham said the knot is what, locks that pulls that thing together.
Yes,
and he said that the Council of Churches is the nut that went on to those churches. It's the nut that pulled them. And so the thing that got us is Christ himself.
Amen.
Is the word of this day. See? Watch, he's going to say something. Now, see, they're all uniting together now in the great ecumenical council. And going to have the world church all coming under one head where Satan will be throned. Just exactly. That's right. See? And the last call is going out to catch the bride. That's right. Before she gets into that. See? And so the call will catch her. He's not going to lose none. So once he gives out that message, the bride is going to come running. Where the carcass is, there will the eagles gather together. When they hear that, they're going to run to it. And so it don't matter. And I've said this many times, but used to, and I notice this in other countries especially because the finances, but now the money's coming up now and people can afford to move around. But, 20, 30, 40 years ago, people didn't have money. Didn't have money and in some of the countries, they were really, really poor. And so you weren't going to drive somewhere or take a vehicle, public transport, somewhere else when there was a church right here. You were going to go to what was the closest thing, believing something like what you believe. But even though they could be off, and wouldn't be exactly what you believe, but they were going to go there because of circumstances. And now you find people driving a long ways. Brother Branham said people were driving 1,000 miles.
Yes,
huh? 1,000 miles to get to the tabernacle when he was coming in off the field. And he's coming in and was going to be there. People would drive 1,000 miles. He said that's a testimony. A testimony to the kingdom of God and to what God is doing.
Amen.
And to this great message, this call that's being given out to catch the bride in this last day. See? So, and the last call is going out to catch the bride, see, before she gets into that. For once in that, she's took the mark of the beast and doomed. She'll never come out of it, see. That's the reason that the scripture says, that the messenger said, come out from among them, my people, before it goes into him, see. Before they get there locked in with Satan himself. And that's what's happened in this day. That's where it's at. Christ is here. Satan is here. The bride is sealed in with Christ, and the seed of unbelief is sealed in with Satan.
Amen.
That's where it's at. See, that's the reason it said, come out from among them. See? and be ye separated. See? Now hatred and death and eternal separation from God in this Eden. Notice how he used that word more and more and more as the time goes on. Whereas back there, he used it a little bit, but not so much. But then it's like it's dropping in more and more. In these later messages, those things are dropping in. Eternal separation, eternal death, eternal fire, eternal, eternal, eternal. See? Hatred and death and eternal separation from God in this Eden. Lust, filth, perversion. How? By sowing the wrong seed. Huh? What was that seed? The seed of unbelief. That's what he told us in the beginning. He said it's the seed of unbelief, see? And what does it bring? It brings eternal death. Yes, sir. It brings eternal separation. See? Reminds me of the vision I seen before I ever met the Pentecostal people of that man going around the world in white. You've heard me tell it many times. See? And you've read, I think it's Matthew chapter 13. You read it. And one came in behind him, sowing seeds of discourse. See? And, but, let's see. Let me read it 105 again. Reminds me of the vision I seen before I ever met the Pentecostal people, the man going around the world in white. And you heard me tell of it many times. And one come in behind him, sowing seeds of discord. But he won it fairly in Eve, see, in the Garden of Eden, by the lust of Eve for sin. The lust of Eve, see, of sin. And then if Eve lusted for knowledge, it was sin. Think about it. And this is where people get caught and pulled into without realizing it. And even message people, they go for an intellectual understanding of this message, of this revelation. And it's not. Brother Branham said, this thing is predestinated into you. Amen. That means in all revelation comes from God. He's the author and the finisher of your revelation. Amen. And so it has to be Him doing it. And so they get caught up in this lust for knowledge. There is people who absolutely deny much of this revelation. But they can quote it. They can tell you the prophet said this and he said this and that when he said it and how he said it. Know 100 times more than I do and many of us. Amen. But that's just knowledge. Yes, it's just knowledge. That's okay, but I'd love to have more. I'd love to have more memory. I'd love to have more of a lot of things. But the main thing that I want is revelation. That's what I want more than anything else. If I can't remember 5 minutes ago, I want revelation. Yes, I want the revelation of this thing. And let it live in me. Right. See? If Eve lusted for knowledge, it was sin. And when we lust for knowledge, and we want a PhD and an LLD, it's sin to do so. Yeah. See? Knowledge is only beneficial in the carnal realm. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. There's a difference. And we want wisdom. We want wisdom to know how to handle these things. You say, well, especially for the young people, we got some listening. And so they're going to school. They're learning. They're training. So they're gaining knowledge. That's okay. That's okay. But when you're lusting for that, more than you're lusting, or not lusting, but I don't have a problem using that word. but when you're desiring to know God in the power of His resurrection, when you want Him more than you want anything else, see, if you're putting your education and your knowledge and your all of that, the worldly side of it. Remember, Brother Branham said, civilization and education is of the devil.
Yes, sir.
Our civilization and our education is no longer based
right
on the Word of God.
Amen.
It's no longer. It used to be. It started out that way. And now they're trying to get it as far away from God as they possibly can.
Yes, sir.
And to give you a scientific idea of something to worship. They're giving you a scientific God. They're giving you a God of knowledge. That's what Eve was caught up in. The serpent deceived her. See? I was reading those scriptures today. And what was the promise? What was the promise that the serpent told them? It was that you will be as gods. Well, if that's in Genesis 3, right? So in Genesis 1, what was given to them? What was given to them in Genesis 1? Dominion. They were given dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air and over all the earth and over everything. And everything God created, one by one by one, they brought them to Adam, and Adam named every one of them. He was the God of the earth. Already now Satan is coming and offering him a perversion of what God had already gave him.
That's right.
And that's what people are doing today.
Right.
God sent a message. He sent a prophet. And now what do we have? We have a perversion of it. We got men that don't know a fraction of what that prophet brought to us or what that prophet knew in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And they're trying to be our leaders now. They're trying to lead the church. They're trying to lead the bride. They're trying to be the one to stand in the breach and to say, follow me. And they think they know more than the prophet does. It's not that man. It's not William Branham. It's Jesus Christ revealed in the flesh of a man. And that man came in the revelation of this hour. The revelation of Jesus Christ for this hour, to bring the revelation of the rapture, to bring the revelation of true justification, to bring the revelation of false anointed ones at the end time, to bring the revelation of marriage and divorce today. Yes. Many, many things. Satan's Eden, redemption, all of those things. God revealed it in this hour. He revealed himself to make himself known, that there would be a people, a bride, that would stand upon the earth. It would be God on the earth again.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, I'm not moving any trees and I'm not doing this. No, but let me tell you something. Whether you ever do that or not, it don't matter one bit.
That's right.
What you have is eternal life.
Amen.
And this eternal life, it is powerful.
Yes, sir.
In that you have the revelation of Jesus Christ. You have the veil has been taken off of God, and you see him in his fullness.
Amen.
You see him in the promise of what has not been known for thousands of years.
Right.
No. And I don't even know. I don't know if Adam knew everything that was revealed in this day. I don't know. I don't have a quote for that. It's being argued, being argued for a long time. I don't have a quote for it. I don't have a quote that says he didn't know it.
That's right.
He certainly... This gift, it amazes me that men can walk up beside this gift and think that they're up here. And they did it in his day. They did it when the gift was on display. They did it while the gift was operating. That's right. And when he told him, he said, he told me to go to Tucson and seven angels was going to meet me on the mound, and seven angels was going to give me a message of the seven seals and send me back here to reveal the seven seals. There ain't nobody like that. That is laying aside the speaking squirrels into existence, laying aside speaking to the storm, laying aside the gift of healing and prophecy and discernment and all of the other gifts, laying aside all of that. This man had, God was revealing himself through this man like no other. No, there'd never been a time, never been a revelation, never been an unfolding of God by any prophet in any age than this man.
Amen.
Just search your whole Bible. Search it.
Right.
Brother Branham said, you take this Bible I believe I got this right. He said, you take this Bible and record every miracle. And not the supernatural. And he said, there's been more done in this day.
Yes, sir.
In this day.
Yes, sir.
He said, it's happened tens of thousands of times.
Yes,
people, one after another, after another. Go into the meetings and the line start and the discernment and just discerning and discerning and discerning, telling them their name, telling them where they live, telling them what's wrong with them, pronouncing them well, or just blessing them and letting them go by. No, there was never no promise that everybody would be healed. He never said that. No. The angel of the Lord told him, said, you're going to know what the disease is. You're going to know what's wrong with them. And he said, when you pray for them, he said, if it goes away, he said, you'll take their hand again and it'll be gone. And he said, if you take their hand again and it's not gone, he said, you just bless them and let them go by. They weren't predestinated to be healed. They weren't predestinated to receive it. No. Mm-mm. We preach it like it's for everybody, but we know it's not.
Amen.
Let me read that again. 107. When we lust for knowledge and we want a PhD and an LLD, it's a sin to do so. That's strong statements, but that's the truth. No matter how strong it is, it's still the truth. See, to lust for knowledge, for understanding. See, and I can just imagine in the young mind how this would sound contrary. But you gotta have an absolute. You gotta have something you're comparing these statements to.
Yes, sir.
And what you're comparing it to is that desire for God. That desire to know God and to want God and to want God living in you and manifesting the word of this age.
That's right.
There's gotta be something. There's gotta be an anchor. There's gotta be an absolute. There's got to be something that you compare this thing to. Otherwise, then, sure. Oh, I need to have a good education, so I'll get a good job, so I can make lots of money, so I can buy lots of stuff. Well, if that's all that's in your life, if that's all that's in your heart, well, then just go do that. But if you can catch this revelation, if you can catch this revelation, if that seed of God, that seed of belief is in you, then you're going to go through this life with angels encamped about you.
Yes, sir.
You're going to go through this life with the Holy Spirit, this, which is the Spirit of God, leading you and guiding you every day.
Amen.
Is that going to be more better than your knowledge,
yes,
and your wisdom and your education?
Yes,
which one's going to be better? See, to lust for knowledge. See, 108. The thing of it is, listen to this, and this is really the problem. This is the problem today. See, today we don't try to establish the Word of God in the people's hearts. This is what's wrong in the churches. This is what's wrong in the message churches. We'll leave the other ones alone for a little while. In the message churches, what are we trying to establish? Huh? Are we trying to establish ourselves, or we're trying to establish the Word of God? See? 108, the thing of it is today, we don't try to establish the Word of God in people's hearts. We're trying to establish ourselves. See? Churches are trying to establish the doctrine of the church in a person's heart. Is that right? Now we've seen that even in the message. And we've even had preachers in this area that believed they were the only one, the only church. You had to believe what they were preaching, their idea, their doctrine, or come to their church.
Yep.
Huh? More than one.
That's right.
You know, I was thinking earlier this morning, because there's a brother who's out in Pecos, New Mexico. And it's a real good brother. He's a minister and he preaches online for us, and we've been wanting to have him come. His name is Brother Brian Bennett, and I was thinking of him this morning, and how that he's there all alone. He's there and the closest church is like a couple hours away, and they're not 100%, you know, in how he sees the revelation. And so he's just kind of all alone. And I was thinking about him, and I was feeling for him, because I was thinking, what kind of a strength does that take? What kind of strength? That takes revelation. And that takes strength from the Holy Spirit. And that takes God really giving you that steadfastness that you're standing on the right thing. Because you're standing alone. And so, and then I got to thinking about here, how that there's a church on every corner. You got your choice of probably 50 churches within 50 miles. And I thought, I wonder which one's harder, is to take in all of these different ideas. I'm not talking about me, but for some people, if they don't have that strength and that revelation, then they're struggling. Which one?
Yes, sir. Right.
I probably shouldn't say this, but I drove through the Chick-fil-A not too long ago, and there was a girl in there, and you know, when they got that long dress on all the way down in their hairs, I mean, you just know. And so, because these worldly girls aren't going to do that. They're not going to wear that dress down to their ankles and have their hair up and all of that. And so I had seen her a couple of times, and I complimented her, and I said, it's so nice to see a sister, you know, dressed holy. And so then one day it was convenient to ask her. I said, well, where do you go to church? And so she told me, and I said, oh, I know some people that go there. And so I told them who it was. And she says, nah, they don't go there no more. They're going over to somebody else's. And so, and I know all the names, I'm just not calling them. So she's saying, nah, they're going over. She said, yeah, she said, they're just all jumping all over the place. And so I said, okay. And I said, well, I just want you to know, God bless you for your life. So, anyways, I just found a little bit of humor in that. And she did too. She kind of laughed when she said it. But it's the truth. See, listen, we're trying to establish ourselves. And churches are trying to establish the doctrine of the church in the people's hearts. See? And then that comes to, and so where does that doctrine come from? Okay? If it's the doctrine of the church, then it's either from a great church, a denominational church, or if it's like a messy church, then it's going to be coming from the pastor, right? So that's his idea. Now, if he don't have the revelation, he's given his idea. So now the church has this doctrine. This is our doctrine now. And if you don't come to this, you're just lost. Because we can even say that the prophet said this, the prophet said that. See? But if that's what we're trying to do. But if we realize that we're trying to get them to Christ, it don't matter if I ever see them get to what I believe.
Right.
That's not up to me.
That's right.
Huh? That's not what God promised.
Amen.
That's not what God told us to do.
Right.
God said, get them to Him.
Yes, sir.
And He's going to get them in the right doctrine. He said,
I'd
rather you have the wrong doctrine than the right spirit.
Yes, sir.
So get the right spirit, and then God's going to lead them the rest of the way.
Right.
He'll do that. He's obligated. He's not going to lose one. Not at no time. But when we think we're going to cram it down their throats, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. See? 109, we are commanded to establish the Word of God. Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man, that your faith might rest in the knowledge of man, but I came to you in power. There's where we want to be. This is what your knowledge can't do. Your knowledge can't do this. It can't come in the power of the revelation.
Right.
See? The power of the resurrection. It can't do it. It don't have power. See? Oh, you might win an argument with another intellectual, another person or with somebody, see? But that's no good when it comes to the spiritual man. We're commanded to establish the Word of God. Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man, that your faith might rest in the knowledge of man. No, we don't want that. But I come to you in power, in manifestations of the Holy Ghost, that your faith might rest in God. See, there you are. Man mustn't establish yourself. See? Lest let God do something for a person and send him out, and you'll find every man trying to impersonate. Huh? They're trying to establish themselves. And I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it because it's true. And so, and I know that I'm nobody. And I know it better than other people. So, because I feel so unworthy, and I don't feel like I'm a good preacher, and I don't feel like I put it together so great. All of those things, I think about those things all the time. And so, while I'm telling you to not listen to the devil, I'm telling myself the same thing. But anyways, a couple of years ago, I read this and it made me think of this. And a couple of years ago, I preach a lot online. I preach a lot in other countries. And so those quotes, we put those quotes out there to help the people, because a few years ago, say 10 years ago, 20 years ago, the books were hard to get. And they didn't have the iPads over there. And so those brothers really struggled. So they had some books and they shared those books. And so a book was precious. And so when they could get some quotes and stuff, they did. And so now it's online. And every time you preach a message, you throw the quotes out there and you throw the quotes out there. And so my quotes, I know them. And so because I highlight them, nobody highlights like I do. Nobody indents the words like I do. I just have my own way of doing it, and I like it. I know what the important thing is, and I know what not. I know what's my words and what's not, but because of the way I put it there. And so a couple of years ago, I did this. I was reading this. Found some quotes there online, and this preacher, he preached this message, and it was just my quote. And so, but to make sure I didn't think that, he put on there, researched and compiled by and preached by. You know, he had all the breakdowns, so nobody would think these were actually somebody else's quote, but he had compiled them and he had did this and this and this and this. And I said, well, that's okay. And so then I never said anything about it. And so, and I wouldn't have said anything now, but just recently, I've seen about 10 messages. Somebody just threw a bunch of messages on there. And so I looked at it and I thought, man, that title sounds familiar. And so I opened it up and it was there. And it was part one, part two, part three, And so I'm looking at it. And so I'm seeing the indentation's the same, the way I do the scripture, the colors for certain things. And so I was still trying to doubt it. I was thinking, nah. And so finally, I got down to my comments. So they didn't know my comments from Brother Branham's comments, because they didn't know, because I didn't put me. You know, I know it by something else, and I'm not going to tell him. So I'm going to leave it there. So he didn't know. And how I know my comments, which you know. Well, you don't, because I don't always. I try to take it out if I can. But you know. If you see at the top, at the beginning, and it says CC, that means church copy. So that means I had some comments I'm putting in that one, and I took them out. And so the other times, my comments are there, and you know what they are. And so you would recognize them, but you didn't. But I went back and was looking at, and I think he's already stripped some of them, because there were several. And I think he's already stripped some of them and just made them black. But his name, the church, his phone number's at the beginning. And then at the end is his name and the church again. And God bless you, and enjoy. And I don't have a problem with that. I'm okay. But what are we establishing? Are we establishing ourselves? That's the thing. Am I trying to impress somebody by what I put out there? Or Or am I going to go collect everybody else's and just keep throwing it out there like it's all mine? No. This message belongs to all of us.
Amen.
And so they're more than welcome. As far as I'm concerned, they're more than welcome to use it. But what's the word that he said? You find every man trying to impersonate. That's the problem. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not going to impersonate. I don't want to impersonate somebody else. I'm just me. I watch Brother Goomba, and I admire. He just is so a ball of fire. He's just a ball of fire. And I admire it so much. But I can't be him. I can't be him. As much as I'd like to have that fire and that zeal and just go day and night. And I probably sleep twice as much as he does. And I'm not a big sleeper. You ask my wife. I'm up, you know, I wake up between 5-6 every morning. And, you know, I have my days now. If I'm up too long, I might sleep to 7 o'clock or something. But that laying in bed, I can't do that. But Brother Goomba, he can just stay up all night. He can just stay up all night. But that is a trait of a lot of Africans. They're more used to that. He's just gifted in that, and he really studies this message. And I admire him, and each one I do. See, so now let me. See, they're trying to establish themselves, and every man now, I did this, me, I, mine, my denomination, me, this, establishing themselves, see? What are we preaching about?
Amen.
Ourselves or the kingdom of God, see? See, I can remember reading Brother Ben said that they used to advertise meetings, and they would advertise that Brother Brandon was coming. And he was going to be in the meeting because they knew he was a drawing card because of the gift. And so they would put it out there, and then he wouldn't be there. And somebody would be there and say, Brother Branham, it said you were coming. What happened? And he said, I didn't know nothing about those meetings. They never told him about it. So he had other times he was sitting there on the platform and they said he wasn't there. Huh? So they lied. They did every kind of way. And what are they trying to establish? Themselves.
Right.
They're wanting to get more people, more money, more this, more that. 111, establish the word of God.
Amen.
Take out the unbelief, that seed of unbelief. Get it out of there. Let it die. That old nature of the world, let it die. Let it be annihilated. And establish the kingdom of God in a man's heart. And the kingdom of God cannot be established in a man's heart. Listen to this predestination now.
Amen.
Listen to this free moral agency. The kingdom of God cannot be established in a man's heart unless God made that man thus.
Amen.
You had to be made for that.
Right.
Huh? You had to be predestinated for that.
You
had to be in the mind of God for that.
That's right.
I was reading this morning in Who Is This Melchizedek. Brother Branham said that redemption is only for the predestinated.
Amen.
He said predestinated is not for anybody else. He said it's only for the predestinated. They're the only ones considered. They're the only ones. And he said because they were in him.
Amen.
And he said the word redeem means to bring back. So you had to be there. And if you're not there, you're never going to be there.
Amen.
Brother, that's the predestination I'm talking about.
Yes.
I don't mean to keep harping on that, but I just love it.
Amen.
I love harping on it. And if it bothers somebody, then they need it to bother them.
That's right.
They need it to bother them. They need it to realize that there's more to it
right.
than just saying, well, I'm going to make a choice. Yeah, you are making a choice. You make them every day. Every single day you make choices. Huh? You got free will. You got free moral agency. But brother, If you're not predestinated before the foundation of the world, if you're not in him before the foundation of the world, you're not going to be there no matter how many choices you make.
Amen.
No matter how many times. Huh?
That's right.
Esau repented with tears.
Yes, sir.
Tears. Huh? Right. How many others repented? Judas? Huh?
Right.
Cain? How many repented?
Right.
That's right. But did it do any good? No, it didn't do no good. Judas was the son of perdition. That's what he was predestinated, the son of perdition.
Yes,
nothing could change that. Didn't matter how much he changed his mind, no matter how much he begged, no matter how much he repented. No, he wasn't predestinated a son of God.
Amen.
The kingdom of God, 111, let's read it again. Establish the word of God. Take out the unbelief and establish the kingdom of God in a man's heart. And the kingdom of God cannot be established in a man's heart lest God made the man thus. See? He cannot. See? And remember the deceitful part, that man think that it's all right. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. Listen to this. Every intellectual being seems right. You hear these theologians, you hear these smart people, great knowledge, great, can quote the Bible, can quote the message. Yeah. It sounds right. Huh? They can be reading quotes. It sounds right. But Brother Branham said the revelation is between the lines.
Yes, sir.
He said it's hidden in there. It's between the lines. He said you're reading it and God let you see. He said it's not written right out where everybody can see it.
Right.
He said it's not like that.
Right.
People keep thinking that and keep trying to read it like that. It's not that way. It is hidden in there. And you got to be predestinated to receive the revelation. I told you a few Sundays ago when I said this is 1965. Do you know how many years ago it was that his dad died? His daughter died? This is where people come and say, they say, oh, he was off, he was off. No, that's just how he's telling it. That's just how he's telling it. As I told you a few Sundays ago, when I stood by my dying baby, and Satan standing there said, there's your daddy, died in your arms the other night. There's your wife laying down there in the morgue. There's your little baby going. And you ask him to answer you. See, he pulled the shade down over you. Now, yet he's a good God. Yet you said that he was a healer. Am I right? 1933? Was that the flood? No, it wasn't in 33. 37 was the flood? Wasn't it 37 was the flood, I think. That's when his baby died, his wife died, just right in that time period. Just a few Sundays ago. See, and you ask him to answer, and he pulled his shade down over you, and yet he's a good God, and yet you said he's a healer. And you who are standing for what you said was right, you're wrong. Oh, every reason, every mental faculty had to agree it was right. He was right. Huh? Satan was right. That much of it, he was right. See, so was he right when he told Eve, your eyes will be opened and you'll know right from wrong. You'll be as gods. That's right. The way, see, knowing right from wrong, because God didn't let them see themselves yet. God didn't let them see. They were perfectly, a holy veil was over them, and they could look right at one another, and they were totally naked, and they were veiled to that.
Right.
It was a holy veil. The scripture said, and there was no shame.
Right.
Huh? They were there, naked, and they were not ashamed.
Right.
What is it now? Shame. Where I feel for Brother Richard. It's just, that place is just killing him. It's degrading. It's humiliating. Now, I can't speak for a woman, but for a man, it's humiliating the way that they do it. They just leave you there uncovered like a baby. And I don't say anything, but I feel bad. And he's listening in tonight, so he's hearing me. He's hearing me. But I just, my heart goes out. I put myself right there and I think I would be miserable.
Yes,
I'd just be miserable. You try to go to the bathroom and they're saying, no, just go. It's hard to go back to that.
Right.
114. So was he right when he told Eve, your eyes will be opened. You'll know right from wrong. You'll be as God, see? 115. And so does ministers, see? So does ministers in seminaries. Learning man-made theology. It may seem right. It may be a good understanding of the thing, but it's wrong. That's right. We don't have to understand it. We believe it because God said it so. And that settles it forever. The whole thing, that's the way to believe it. That's right. Now, I know Brother Branham said we must understand. And that's true. But you're not going to understand everything about everything. There's going to be things that you are going to accept while you're waiting to know it.
Yes, sir.
And you're waiting for the revelation of it.
Right.
Because God's going to give you a revelation that this is Him, and this messenger is the voice of God, that God is on the scene, and God is leading you. That's the revelation. He's revealed that to you. And so whatever you read here, if your intellects, if it don't work for your intellects, you just put your intellects aside and say, amen.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Amen.
And that's where many people have failed in the message. They want their intellect to put it together and then they call it a revelation.
Yep.
Or they want to have a revelation before they're going to accept it, before they're going to believe it, before they're going to follow it. No, God wants you to step out.
Amen.
There are some unknown faith there that you're walking in, that you're going to testify that this is the truth.
Yes, sir.
Even before you have the revelation of what it is.
Amen.
You know this is God. You know this is the voice of God. You know this is the message of the hour. See? We don't have to understand it. We believe it because He said it. The whole thing, that's the way to believe it, see? How Eve lusted to have a PhD. How she lusted to be smarter than what she was. See, now how much like a man and his wife, see? Both naked in the garden. God's Eden. I'm going to close now. See? And I'm trying to too. I said I'm going to... I don't know why. C- 120. Compare this now. How much alike the man and his wife, both in the Garden of Eden, without one stitch of clothes on them, and they knew it not. Huh? For why didn't they know it? They were veiled to their senses of nakedness by the holy veil of the Holy Spirit. See, they could look right at it and say, just won't let me scroll. They were veiled to their senses. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The devil's just a liar. So, I guess the devil just don't like this. And you know, I'm just really glad about it.
Amen.
I'm just really glad about it.
All right.
Okay, it's coming back. It was gone. The other day it just was gone. When I try to scroll, it's taking it away. That is really interesting. All right. I guess that means it's time to stop. Man and his wife, they were both in God's Eden without one stitch of clothes on them, and they knew it not. That's right. So drop down. Okay, 121. So God's veil yet today can look and not lust. They turn their head. It's a holy veil. See? A holy veil. See? They were both, one man and the other was woman, and they did not know they were naked because the holiness of God kept their eyes veiled. See? God hid their conscience from sin by the holy veil. That's right. And I wish we had some time to lay on that a few minutes. See? For he, the worshiper, once purged. In Hebrew, see, the worshiper once purged has no more conscience of sin. Sin has passed from him. Amen. Now, I don't mean that Satan isn't there trying to bring it to you, but you have been set free.
Right.
You've been set free. And so when Satan speaks, you know who's speaking.
Amen.
You know who's speaking, and you can override that.
Right.
That's right. See, here it is now. Oh, wait, no, yeah, this, I wanted to get to this. So I still have a good bit, so you can just read it later. I'll just put it out there with the quotes. I heard Brother Neville say this morning. Someone might have been asking him why I didn't preach on the Holy Ghost. Why didn't I do this? Here it is. The Holy Ghost is the action in you.
Amen.
What is it? The action. It's the movement. It's the power.
Right.
It's the force, the driving force. See, it's a life. It's not an emotion. See, that's what the theologians was going to work on your emotions, on your intellect, on your mind. That's what they're working on.
Huh?
But God's not working on that. God's working on the life, that soul that's in there. That's what God's working on. See, it's a life, not an emotion, not some sort of fleshly evidence. But it is a person, Jesus Christ, the Word. See, Jesus Christ, the Word of God established in your heart to quicken every word of this age.
Amen.
Your schools won't do it. Your churches won't do it. Your knowledge won't do it. All your studying won't do it. No, this is Jesus Christ, the action in you, the life in you, motivating you, moving you. See?
Amen.
And what's it going to do? It's going to quicken every word of this age. That's what I want. More than all the knowledge you can give me, all the science you can give me, all the everything else you can give me, I want this.
Amen.
I want the word of the age quickened.
Amen.
See, right? Watch the Holy Ghost in action. Not so much in demonstrations. Not so much the gifts, all these other things, all the super, that's all good, wonderful, lovely. But let that Holy Ghost, those written epistles, those epistles that have been written,
yes, sir,
now coming to manifestation.
Amen.
That's what you are. That's right. Watch the Holy Ghost in action. Not so much demonstration, see? In action. What does it do according to the Word? See, that's what was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. See? Notice now the Holy Spirit of God's Holy Word had a man and a woman naked and they didn't know it. How beautiful, see? Life of the Word. The seed, the Word. And God said, there's a tree in the midst of the garden. The woman, see? The woman. And in the midst of the garden is this tree. Don't even touch it, see? The day you eat thereof, the day you'll die. They were wholly veiled from it. Just think. Didn't know nothing about it. Dares them to touch it. Just like you take a child when they're little. They don't have no regard, no shame. You can take them out of the bath and when you're trying to get them dressed, they can just run through the house and feel free.
Huh?
And you can just laugh at it and think nothing about it, or you can fuss at them and think something about it, whatever you do. But they don't have no shame. That's the point. They don't have no shame. Oh, God help us. See, they were wholly veiled. They were safe in God's pavilion. They were alive. They had no death around them. Hallelujah. They had perfect love, one for another, perfect life. They had perfect love, perfect understanding of the love of God. They had God's word and kept it. And they were alive and safe in God's Eden. No death around them at all. Amen, amen, amen.
Yes,
praise be to God. All right, we love him and we thank him and we praise him. You can read the rest of it later. And may God bless you so much. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, We thank you. We praise you, Lord. We lift up your lovely name, Lord, for thou art all powerful. And Lord, you are the person. You are the life. You are the action, Lord, that's moving the bride around the world, Lord. You're moving her, Lord, to bring forth all that you had in your mind for this day. Lord, to express all that you wanted to express. And Lord, you're in a many-membered body. You're doing it. Lord, you're there in Africa with Brother Goomba, manifesting all that you want him to express, Lord. All that you want these here to express. You're doing it, Lord. It's coming to that eternal purpose, Lord. It's being manifested every day. Brother Random said that this we're expressing that right now, here tonight. He said, you ordained one to stand here and preach it. You ordained others to sit. And then tomorrow might be another preacher stand here and do it. Whoever God ordained for the moment. You might be preaching somewhere. You might be expressing to somebody in the store or in the school or somewhere tomorrow. But you'll be being led by the Spirit of God to be that expression, to manifest that attribute. Praise be to your lovely name, Lord. Thank you for letting us, Lord, begin to recognize the depth of these things, how great they are, how wonderful it is, Lord. Bless each one, Lord. Stir every heart. Lord, let that fire just grow and grow and grow. And we just commit all to you now, thanking you, praising you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you so much. You're dismissed.